Why don't you all take a seat? And I want to extend Tim's welcome to everyone here. It's so lovely to see so many happy, smiling faces, and some people have obviously not been to a hairdresser's yet, but I'm sure you'll work on that over the next few weeks. Irene, I wasn't talking to you. I want to ask you a couple of questions this morning, if that's okay. And I need you to decide if you would dare to do these things, all right? Now, there is a bonus point available as well. I don't know why there's points, but there's always points. There's a bonus point available as well if you can figure out who I'm on about that has done this in the past, okay? All of these things have actually happened. So here's the first one. Would you dare to cycle 80 kilometers for charity, okay? Yes. Would you dare to ride? So hands up for yes if you would dare to ride a bike 80 kilometers for charity. A smattering of hands. Okay, that's slightly less than I thought, but that's okay, that's all right. Maybe the next one you might dare to do. Who here would dare to row a boat in a storm to save some stranded sailors, okay? So who would dare to row a boat to save some stranded sailors? Hands up for yes, if you would. 3, 4, 5, 6 people. A little bit more nervous. I guess you need to know how to row a boat in order to do that one. All right, next one. Would you dare to hide a spy in your house who you knew was supposed to be your enemy? So would you dare to hide a spy in your house who you knew was supposed to be your enemy? Okay, hands up if you would. 2, 3, 4. Okay, more people would do that. That's interesting. And here is the last one. Would you dare step into a raging river knowing that you would surely be swept away the moment you step into it? So hands up for yes, that you would step into a raging river. One. One hand. Anyone online, Becca, anyone saying yes? No, there's one, two people. Two people would do that. Okay, now, clearly that was one that you were most uncertain about. And I think you've just perfectly shown exactly why the people of God in the passage that we are going to be looking at today were feeling incredibly nervous as they were preparing to cross the River Jordan. To fill you in on this story up to this point, the Israelites had spent 40 years wandering around the desert, waiting to enter into the promised land, their inheritance from God. Now, we heard 2 weeks ago that Moses had died and that God raised up Joshua as the new leader, and his task was to prepare the people to enter the promised land. Last week, we heard that Joshua sent out spies to do a recon mission, and they came back and said, yep, it's all ready. Verse 24 of Joshua 2 says this, all the people are melting in fear because of us. We can take it whenever we want to. And so after wandering around for 40 years, the people of Israel are now poised to enter the promised land. It's just over the horizon. They can see it when they look. It's finally time for them to take the first step into the new life that God had for them. We pick up the story today in Joshua chapter 3. And if you have a Bible with you, then grab it and open it up to Joshua chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible near you, then maybe grab your phone. I see some people getting phones out. And find this amazing passage that shows us so much about God's character and the way that he goes before us through life's challenges. So this is Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I'm going to read on 2 more verses. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Standing between them and their inheritance, the promised land, is just the small matter of crossing the River Jordan. Not normally a big deal. This one last barrier before their new life with God, on one side, wilderness, desert, sand everywhere. And on the other side, land that they've been told is flowing with milk and honey, the fulfillment of all their dreams. But in the back of our minds, there's still this one nagging doubt, because they've actually been this close before. A few years earlier, they'd been in the same place and they could have entered the promised land then. But we read that what happened was that they fell into disobedience and they turned away from God. They'd come so close to entering into God's blessings, the promised land. But because of their sin, they were denied that blessing and they stayed wandering around in the wilderness. And now here they are again, after all these years. It's as if they've gone full circle and they've got another chance to put it right and enter the promised land, just the Jordan River to cross. If they could get over this one last hurdle, everything was going to be all right. But as they arrived at the River Jordan, there was a problem. They looked left, they looked right, there weren't any bridges, and they didn't have any tools or equipment to make the one that would to make a bridge that would span the river. To quote, "We're going on a bear hunt. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. We can't go around it. Oh no, we've got to go through it." But even worse than that, we actually read in verse 15 of chapter 3 that the river was in flood. It was running fast and wide, and it would have been far too dangerous for them to cross. No one, not even the strongest swimmer or the bravest warrior, was getting through that river. Nothing short of a miracle would get them across to the promised land. Now, I want you to picture yourself there right now. It might help if you close your eyes to just totally picture the scene. You've been traveling around as long as you can remember, and you're camped up by the banks of the River Jordan. You're looking really hard, and you can see Canaan on the other side, the promised land, but there's a flooded river in the way. You can't swim across, but even if you could swim, the hundreds of thousands of people who are with you surely wouldn't be able to do that. What was going through your mind? I think if it was me, I'd have been thinking, talking, and moaning to my friends as we sat around a campfire in the evening. "I don't know about you, but I'm starting to have second thoughts about Joshua. My confidence in his leadership is starting to slip, and I'm not really sure he's got what it takes to bring us into the promised land after all. He's brought us here in the middle of flood season. What an obvious mistake. Moses would never have made this mistake." I wonder what you see as you put yourself in that position. But you know what's amazing in this story? God knew that all of this was going to happen. God wasn't surprised by the River Jordan being flooded. In fact, God was the one who brought them to the River Jordan and held them there for the 3 days. Why did he do that? Well, I believe that he was wanting them to refocus on him. This was somewhere where they had never gone before. And so we read in the Bible passage that after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out of your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before." Now, the Ark of the Covenant is something that I'm sure most of you, from the youngest all the way to the oldest, know all about. It was a golden chest which held a number of important items relating to the Israelites' journey out of Egypt. The Ten Commandments, some manna from when they relied on God for food and water. Aaron's rod was in there as well. But even more importantly than that, the Bible says that the presence of God was there too. And so what we see here in verses 3 and 4 is a direct statement to the Israelites. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. When you see the presence of God move before you, you are to follow him. With the ark out in front of them, it was clear where they had to go. Why did they have to follow God's lead? Because in this instance especially, they were going through uncharted waters. It was as if God was saying, keep your eyes locked in on me. You haven't traveled this way before. You haven't done this. So let me take the lead. Now, I can remember some years ago walking up Snowdon with my family. And it was at a point when I was far too young to read maps, and I certainly couldn't have gone up there on my own. The only way that I could do it was with a guide who in that moment was my uncle. He knew the way we had to go. He led the way and he made sure that we were safe as we walked up, showing us the route to take and how ultimately we could avoid getting in, into trouble and walk up to the summit. I had never been that way before, and I certainly wouldn't have been able to manage it without his help. And you know, when I think about how these floodwaters that we see in Joshua chapter 3 apply to all of us, they sure do remind me of what we've been through over the past year. All of us have never been this way before. All of us have never experienced what we've gone through as a country. But I believe that when we face times in our lives that are uncertain, when we're called to go to places that we've never been before, I believe that the promises that God gave to Joshua apply just as much today as they did to the Israelites all those years ago. That if we fix our eyes on God, he will lead the way before us. There have been times over the last year or so when many of us have felt alone, isolated and distant. But the wonderful truth that we can cling to as Christians is that even in the darkest night, when we go through our most difficult moments, the most hard times in our lives, we are never alone. God is always with us. He goes ahead of us. He leads us forwards. And he guides us when the waters of life look like they're going to overwhelm us. And so I'd encourage you today to follow the example set by the Israelites that we see in Joshua 3. Focus on God and the direction that he wants you to go. Fix your eyes on God and his presence. Keep your eyes on the covenant that God has given to us. His promise to Joshua is spelt out in verse 7. God said to Joshua that these things were happening so that they may know that I, and that's God in this instance, am with you as I was with Moses. And he promises that to us too, that he will never leave us or forsake us. His promise to us with the last words that he said whilst on earth were this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is always with us. We are never alone. Keep your eyes fixed on him, and he promises to always be there for us, with us, and he will go before us. Now, I'm aware that I've not even begun to tell you about the amazing miracle that happens next. Myself and Tim are going to be talking about that a bit during our NBC Connect podcast that's back this week. But to cut the story short, I mean, it wouldn't be much of a story if the Israelites didn't head out and were able to cross the river successfully. God performed an amazing miracle to stop the water from drowning all of the Israelites, much like he did when Moses parted the Red Sea many years before at the start of the Exodus. The River Jordan's flow is stopped and they're able to cross over without even getting their feet wet. I've also not had time to talk about what being consecrated means. I wonder if any of the kids might know about that. We did it when we were, when I wasn't much littler, but when they were smaller, when we were back in church together. Maybe you can ask them what consecrated means. It means set apart by God, that kind of thing, okay? And then I haven't even had time to talk about the social distancing that God told them to follow, although their 2,000 cubits is a bit further than 2 meters. I think this story shows us that God is a lot more holy than COVID is catchable, but we'll talk about that another time as well. I want to finish this morning by just giving you some encouragement if you found these past few months really tough. If you feel like the waters around you are roaring, then stop. Take a breath and focus on God and his promise to each of us. All of us are trying to get through this and out the other side in the best way possible. But the idea of having everything mapped out perfectly clearly didn't work out for the Israelites, and it doesn't work like that for us either. We need to stop pretending like we know what we're doing all of the time, and we need to focus on God. What was it that kept the Israelites safe as they crossed the river? The fact that they locked their eyes in on the one who knows every step that they take and has already walked it. And I want to encourage everyone who's here today and those of you who are watching along online to trust in God through the next season that we go through. When you find yourself going to places that you have never been before, lean on God. Let God go before you and know that he is always there with you. As we finish this morning, I want to invite all of you, everyone here and everyone at home, to join in worship with a song that shows this beautifully, and it reminds us of how God directs us in our lives. King of love and grace, my guardian, all my hopes and fears are in your hands. I'm in your hands. Where you go, I'll go. Show me the way. Every step I take, be now my guide, God on my side. You go before me, you're there beside me, and if I wander, love will find me. Goodness and mercy will always follow. You go before me, my guardian. Let's stand and sing together, My Guardian.
Love and grace, my guardian, all my hopes and fears are in your hands. I'm in your hands.
are yours, and we will trust in you. Oh, you are God, a great defender, strong in love, forever faithful. We are yours, and we will trust in you. You go before me, you're there beside me,
Jesus.
And if I wander, love will find me, goodness and mercy will always follow. You go before me, my guardian, my guardian, you're my guardian.
Let me pray a prayer of blessing over you as we finish. May God go before you to lead you. God go behind you to protect you. God go beneath you to support you. God go beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. May the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. You'll see on the bottom of your service sheets that our next open air service is planned for the 23rd of May. We've had 2 out of 2 incredible weather moments, and we are so excited for the next chapter of what we're able to do as a country, but more so what we're able to do as a church in worship together. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you very, very soon.